Last minute Erev Shabbos, because going back to what we were talking about is, you know, this woman who's drunk in the Mishnah, and they're plying her with alcohol, as unfortunately happens today and happened back then, right? This is really an Ein Chadash Tachas HaShamesh kind of a situation, and she doesn't want any alcohol, not this alcohol, not the next thing that they're going to give her. They're plying her with this alcohol, and so she says Nizira, but she really means that she doesn't want what they're bringing in front of her, so we take that into account. Now, Elisheva asked, given the fact that she's drunk, which is, you know, true, right? That's what the Mishnah says. So how is it possible that her neder, even if we don't take it as Naziros, even if we just say it's a plain old neder, so to speak, how is that effective? Anybody want to guess? As I said, that's a really good question. We'll start there. On Sunday. Anybody have any ideas about that? It's really a good question.
I know that like you can't give eidut in that situation, but maybe there's something about the nature of your ratzon that comes out when you're drunk that is the real core of what you really mean.
So Yitzchak is a very interesting suggestion. I was just thinking about it. Yitzchak was saying is that maybe, even though we say b'nedarim, you know, holchanach alashon b'nei adam, is that we generally, you know, try to understand the vernacular, the local vernacular, local dialect. Maybe there's another principle at play here, is that we're somehow willing to read into intent. Like you couldn't daven in that situation, you couldn't give eidos in that situation, but when it comes to nedarim, we're willing to sort of try to fill in the blanks a little bit in terms of what a person's intent is. It's interesting, because going back to the Eidos comparison, right, we have seen that a lot in terms of nedarim compared to Eidos, right? Neder shoter miktsasar hoter kula, Eidos shabatla miktsasar batla kula. So that's an interesting suggestion. Anybody else? That was a really interesting question. Maybe it shouldn't count for anything. So I'll tell you what the Rambam says about it. So the Rambam says that it has to be dealing with a case where she's not at what we call, this is a very important standard in halacha, at shichrusa shalot, the drunkenness of lot. Obviously, the drunkenness of lot sort of stands as an avatar of, like, you know, extreme drunkenness. Sometimes we call it shichrusa shalot, shichrusa shal noach. Right, where he, you know, he could be with his own daughters, with some level of, you know, he knew, he wasn't exactly sure, but whatever it was, you know, he was clearly incapacitated. So the Rambam says we have to read into this situation a certain degree of lucidity, otherwise the neder really wouldn't be a neder. You know, so she has to be, let's call it, drunk, but not...
Right.
Exactly. So it is a very important question, and I want to, you know, highlight this for everybody's attention, especially with Purim coming up. I mean, these are issues that are worth discussing in general, but the different gradations of drunkenness in halacha. Somebody who's not drunk at all but has wine is called a shasoi. Shasoi is a category in its own right. We don't consider that to be necessarily an optimal way for a person to daven or to bench, but personal, then there's a shikar, a person who's actually drunk. Then there's shichrusa shalot, right? So this situation that we're talking about, you know, when there's a acha shahaisa shikora, she was certainly drunk. This isn't just a shesuya, she's a shikora, but it's not to that point. So I think that these are really interesting, really important issues. Elisheva, I think, advanced the discussion by getting us to think a little bit more deeply about the different gradations of drunkenness that are, you know, that are at play. All of them should be avoided, but that the outer boundaries of neder, you know, go into the world of shichras, okay? And that is very, very, very important. And that is well beyond, by the way, what we would accept halachically for purposes of tefillah. Okay, so we were towards the top of Yud Beis Amud Beis, and the discussion was that shlichos is defined by the moment of agency, okay? So we're going to start six lines down, Tashma. And we're going to have a machlokes hatanaim with a lot of focus on the sheet of Rabbi Yoshia, just a moment, which tries to figure out exactly this issue of shlichos being defined by the moment of agency inception. Remember, the point that we were worried about was, is if you send a shliach to be mekadesh woman, we have a chazaka that a shliach is oseh shlichuso, that he does his job, he carries out the task that was given to him, and then you couldn't marry anybody else, lest it be the woman's mother, or daughter, grandmother, granddaughter, sister, and the like. And we said, well, there's one situation, if she literally has no relatives, then you could go ahead and marry somebody else. And we said, and even if she has a sister, but the sister was married at the time, even if it's possible that the sister could be divorced now, and you obviously can't be married, you know, to, you know, two living sisters at the same time, you can marry a sister after the death of the previous sister, we're not worried about that, because shlichus is defined by the moment of agency, and if she was not on the table, so to speak, not in the market at that moment, we don't have to worry about that possibility. So Tashma, Omer La Apotropos, legal guardian, Shelo Kol Nedarim, Shetido Ishtim, Mikan, Dat She'avo, Mimakom Poni, Haferla, VeHaferla, Yachol Yomufar, In Tamil Omer, Isha Yikimenu, VeIsha Yifeirenu. This was a big topic for us in Nedarim, of Hafara Sabal, not being subject to Shlichos, Divrei Rabbi Yoshia, Rabbi Yoshia and Omer, Matzino B'chol Makom, Sheshlucho Shel Adam Kamosa. We understand that Shlichos, that agency is a very important part of the Torah's structure. Okay? So time of the Rachmana Isha Yikimenu Visha Yefeirenu. But here it seems like we have an exception to that ruling that it has to be the husband who either validates her neder or cancels her neder. Halav Hachiapatrapus Mayfair, if it wasn't for this Gzera Sakas, if it wasn't for this anomaly, which again we see as deeply, deeply reflective of the nature of Hafara Sabal. Then it's an expression of that relationship, right? Remember, Tim was talking about this a lot at the time, right? That just because you can have an agent doesn't mean that person becomes you in halacha. Okay, so we have this exception of Ishai Kimenu, Ishai Yefeirenu. Halav Hachi Apotropos Mefer, Ve'ilu Gabe Didei, Tanya Omer Lishto Kol Nedarim, Shetar Mikan, Ve'ad Shavav Mokim Ploni, Yukayamin Lo Amar Klum, Harein Mufarin, Reb Lazar Omer Mufar, Ve'chamim Omer Meno Mufar. He says, but I don't understand. There seems to be a more basic problem here. It's not just the problem of shlichus, but the husband, according to the majority position, Reb Lazar is a dissenter on this, but according to the majority position, the husband wouldn't be able to do anything about it anyway. So there's a more basic problem which is at stake, which is not a question of, oh, you know, he could have done it himself, but his shliach can't do it. He can't do it himself, right? That's what the Chachamim are saying, Eino Mufar. So maybe he was following the minority view of Rabbi Lazar, the Amr Matzi Mefer. Again, Rabbi Lazar is saying is that the husband can negate Nedarim under these circumstances. Ihachi, the Gemara says, Lama li shvui shaliach. So then why in the world would he want a shliach? Lefer la'iu. So let him do it himself. Kasavar Dilma Mishtalino Ratchana O Mitridna. So a very reasonable answer, and we saw parallel ideas in the Nedarim itself, that he's afraid that even though he could really take care of this himself before he goes, the reason he wants a shliach to do it is that he says, I'm gonna be traveling, you know, I get there some people, and you see it to this day. There's some people who when they travel become very stressed. Even if they're calm people in general, all of a sudden they start traveling and they get all worked up, like, you know, I mean, it's part of their, I don't even like mean that they're traveling, you know, to Australia. They're just traveling to, like with all the other Jews, to Florida, you know, and they just get very worked up when they travel. So the guy says, I'm going to be distracted. I'm going to be irritable. I'm going to be in an agitated state. I'm not going to be able to think straight because I'm going to be getting ready to go on this business trip. So better to have my apotropos worried about my wife's, you know, about my wife's therapy. When I was a kid, my brother and I used to, this is what, you know, kids do in the airport, especially if you have a sibling. We used to sort of like, you know, have fun, you know, watching all these people getting so worked up about travel. You know, it's like, you know, in the airport, these people flipping out, you know, and this is before the days when everybody had to take off their shoes and their belts. This was a great sport of ours, you know, back in the, you know, the later years of the 20th century is enjoying the, you know, the stress, you know, because when you're a kid, your parents, you know, they've got everything settled. So we're just, you know, moseying on through the airport, watching people, you know, in these hostile encounters with travel agents and, you know, the God help those people who work for the airlines behind the counter, and people are like, you know, treating them as if they're about to perform a surgery without anesthetics. It's a very interesting sociological, you know, thing. If you ever start paying attention in an airport, and again, the you know, the post 9/11 things only made it worse. So now everybody is on edge, and maybe for better reasons. But this was in the. This was in the Pax Americana days. So in any event, that's a halachic reality. We didn't know this Gemara at the time, but the Gemara is saying exactly that, that some people today just can't handle traveling. So even if he theoretically could do it himself, he wouldn't have the presence of mind, the mind space, the emotional bandwidth to be able to focus on his wife's nidar. So the Mishnah says, Hare aloi, pay careful to the language, the galea chatzi nazir, so he accepts. And the zero, so he's going to bring like half of the korban. V'shama chavero v'amar v'ani alai v'galeach hatzin nazir. So v'zeh migaleach nazir shalim v'zeh migaleach nazir shalim divrei meir v'chamimum v'zeh migaleach hatzin nazir v'zeh migaleach hatzin nazir. Right? So Meir seems to be saying ein nazirus l'chatzan. You can't become half pregnant. You can't become half a nazir. You can't bring half of the korbanos. But the chachamim are willing to live with the arrangements. Amar Rava kol modim kol heichad amar chatzin korbanos nazir alai. Chatzi karbamaisi, even Reb Meir will be moda. Korbanos chatzi nazir alai, kulei korban ba'isui. Everybody will agree that he has to bring the full korban. So my time with the ha, v'shkach nazirus l'palka. Okay, so in this situation, obviously the machlokas Reb Meir l'chachamim is nazirus l'chatzan. V'chi pligi v'lishin l'mastisin pligi. Reb Meir savar kemen damar harei alai, ichaye v'kulei korban nazirus, v'chagam chatzi nazirus lav kol kamine, Rabban and Savri, Nader Upatach Imohu. As we say, this is a Nader, and the Pesach is right next to it. So, and the idea is, you know, we have to focus in very carefully on the language to figure out whether this is a situation of, you know, Chatzi Nizirus, and whether that's Chat. Okay. So remember, Reb Meir is always the one of Einat Amotzi Davar Levatala. A person says the Horton the Who principle. I mean what I say, and I say what I mean, if you know the reference. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Hareini Nazir, Lichshieli Ben, V'nolad Lo Ben, Hareiza Nazir. Person stipulates, and again, the Rambam's not a big fan of these things, but person went ahead and did it anyway, that if I have a son, and I send a male child, okay, that's going to be the important thing here, that I'll become a Nazir. So we say that he's a Nazir. Nolad Lo Bas, if he has a daughter, right, Tumtum, or a child of indeterminate gender, of androgynous, or of... androgynous has simanim l'chan u'l'chan, has indications in both directions. Eino nazir, so that's not a male. Im amr k'sheli vlad, if he says I have a child, if he lo lo bas tum tum androgynous, harei a nazir, because he has a child. He pila ishto, if his wife miscarried, eino nazir. Reb Shimon omer yomar, im haya ben kayama, right, if he had said that to have a viable child, harei nazir chova, v'im lav harei nazir nedava, right? So it would be like a conditional naziris. Chazra v'yalda, then let's say she had a viable child, harei ze nazir. So right now the condition would be fulfilled according to all views. Reb Shimon Omer yomari marishon ben kayama harishon chova v'zon nedava v'im lav harishon nedava v'zon chova. So Reb Shimon says he has to do some fancy footwork here because according to him he's in this conditional state. So now that there's a viable child, he has to say, if the first one was a real Nazirus, let it be a real Nazirus, and if not, let this one be the real Nazirus. Okay, so the Gemara says, Hi, my the Maimers. It's like this very obvious thing. If the guy said it has to be a male child, it has to be a male child. Like, well, what exactly are we contributing to the discussion? Mishum Seifa, Bastumtum Androgynous, and another Pshita. It's like so totally obvious. Maudisema, Lechshe Banahu de Kamar, Kamash Malam Delo. So sometimes people would say, when I have a son, and maybe they're using that language because, you know, like people think in terms of having male children. But really, it just meant in terms of having a child. This is Yitzchak, maybe getting back a little bit to your point and, that we talked about in terms of inebriation, and maybe we're willing to sort of read into the person's mind a little bit, and maybe this isn't the most, consonant with our sensibilities today, where we rightly, you know, celebrate, thank God, all children. But there was a time where people, I'm not saying that this is halachically rooted, I'm just saying that there are people, you know, in terms of what they meant, and that matters a lot for purposes of the Darim, as we've discussed many times, where a person would say, when I have a son, but what they really mean is, you know, when we'll have children. But they thought in terms of having a son, they talked about, there are many cultures that are that way. today. I'm not going to mention them, you know, from people will take it critically, but that they'll speak in terms of having, you know, a son, you know, carry on the family name. But really what they meant was, I'll be a Nazir out of gratitude, let's say, you know, when God will give me a child. So that's what the person meant. So Kamash, the person really meant a son. You know, that there wasn't that degree of flexibility. Okay, so the Gemara says, V'mamrek Shiali Vlad, so Pshita, obviously, if you just, you know, form it in a non-specific way, Ma'av the same of Vlad, the Mikshav Ben the Inchi Bayin and Kamash Mlan. Again, you might have thought that it's a kind of offspring that will, you know, have status in society the way that men one time had greater status than women in society. Men could be landowners, you know, men could, have positions of leadership and the like. So maybe that's what the person meant, Kamash Mlan. So Pila Ishto Eino Nazir. So again, the situation according to the Chachamim, where it's not a viable child, so there's no Nazir. So Manikton the Rabbi Yehuda Dichrihu. So this is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, where we saw before in terms of whether the Kriya was Machzik a certain amount or not. So we said that Rabbi Yehuda, again, we can be Machmir in the world of Naziris. This is the whole discussion that we had about Safek Abba. We can be Machmir in the world of Naziris, and we know a guy is a Nazir altogether. But if we don't even know that the Naziris was Chal, remember it was Rabbi Yehuda's Shita to say that we'll have to be Mekel in such a case. First, you have to cross that threshold here, right? There was a pregnancy, and there was, a delivery of the pregnancy, but the pregnancy did not lead to a viable child. And since the pregnancy didn't lead to a viable child, the condition, halachically speaking, is considered unfulfilled. And as such, there's no chalos of Nazirus. Okay. So, Rabbi Shimon Omer Yomar, Imhaya ben Kayamarin Nazir Chobav Imla, Marin Nazir Nidama. Very complex sheet of Rabbi Shimon, the Das Yachid, that you go into a conditional state. So, Baimini Rabbi Abba Mirav Huna, Harin Nazir, the Chshili Ben, Vipili Ishto, Vihifrish Korban, he separated the Korban, Vichazra Vialda, Mahu, Aliba Deman, Yaliba the Rabbi Shimon, Mai Sibaila. According to Rabbi Shimon, he's very clear. Ham Rabbi Shimon, Savag Nazirus Lahachmir, right? So, Rabbi Shimon would say that you have to be machmer in that situation, even, you know, of the Vlad, Sheno Shel Kayama, Vel Aliva de Rabbi Yehuda, Damer Safik Naziris Lahakel. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said there's no Naziris in that situation altogether, what do we do with this Karban? So Mai, Kadosh or Lo Kadosh? Do we say that this group of animals that had been designated for his Karban Naziris is consecrated? So Mai Nafka, Mina Ligizaso Lavodbo, right? For purposes of working with animals. You can't take animals that are hektish and start shearing them, you know, and making cashmere sweaters, or taking animals which are hektish and start using them for secular purposes. So take, the Gemara says, you know, we're not entirely sure how to resolve that issue. So Baimine ben Rechumi Me'abaye, Reini Nazir, Chsheli Ben, V'shama Chavero, and his friend heard, V'amar, V'aloi, and on me. So Ma'u, Adibure Mashma, V'agufe Mashma. So he's saying, is he basically saying, oh yeah, when my buddy has a friend, you know, I'll become a Nazir also. He's my best buddy. You know, he was the best man at my wedding. Yeah, he, you know, Tommy has a kid, I'll be a Nazir too. Or does he mean, no, oh, I like that idea. When I have a kid, I'll be a Nazir, okay? So it's hard to figure out. Same time, similar, Agufi Masha, Amar, Reini Nazir, L'Chsheli Ben, V'Shama Chaver, V'Amar, now, V'Ani, okay, not V'Alai, but V'Ani, Mahu Anav, Shekamar Doma, Hachi Kamar, Rachim Nala Kavaseich, you know, I love you like myself, after the Reil Chakamokher, same Tim Tolomar, Kolba Anpe, right, that if he's in the presence of the person, top line of Yid Gimel and Beis, let's give everybody a chance for a second. Ksifale Milsa, right, so he's referring to himself, because, you know, if it's in the presence of the other guy, what he means to say is, like, he doesn't want to be outdone. His buddy said, if I should be blessed with a child, you know, I'll become a Nazir. And this guy is thinking to himself, oh, I don't want to be a Nazir, but, you know, at the same time, I don't want to seem less, you know, excited about the possibility of having, maybe his wife is standing right there, so she starts elbowing him a little bit, you know. It's like, you know, where are you on this one, right? So he'd be a little embarrassed, so he would mean it for himself, okay? So, Ksiva Le Mil says, I'm already Lazir Shalom Pony Ben. Right, v'shama chaver v'amar v'ani mahu mi'amrinan shelo b'fan v'anav sheka amar odilma hachi kamer la'rachim nalei kavaseich tibois. The Gemara says that that's, you know, those are the fair questions. It's hard, a little hard to know in these situations what the person was really committing himself to or not. So the Mishnah says, "Are any nazir? Behold, I will be a nazir. V'nazir k'sheli ben." Sounds like a double situation. Hischa mona shelo v'acharkach nolad lo ben. Mashem shelo v'acharkach mona shel beno. So he has a double nazirus. One of them was non-conditional, hareni nazir, and then he has a second nazirus to fulfill once he actually has a son. Okay, so that's straightforward enough. Hareni nazir chsheli ben, okay, vin nazir, hischel mone eshalo, v'achrono ben, v'niach eshalo, umone eshal beno, because that was a sequence that he took it, v'achar kach mashlem eshalo. It was a really interesting idea that a person took a conditional nazirus, and then a full nazirus. Now, the conditional nazirus can't start yet, so he went to the second one. But then he has a child, so we say, now we go back to your hafla, to the order in which you took the nadarim, which is a very fascinating point, right? So he said, we'll go back to that. You'll do that one, and then you'll resume the one that you started. So we don't say, like, kol amaschal b'mitzvah omrim lo gemor. We're more into actually operating in the sequence of your nazirus. Yeah?
So he would actually interrupt the...
Right, that's what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying is that really, when it comes to the world of Nedarim, right, what we're most concerned about is people fulfilling their Nedarim. So you have to go in order, even though it's counterintuitive. Normally in mitzvos, once a person is Osek, we say, you know, finish what you started. So this is apparently an exception to that rule.
There's nothing preparatory he has to do at that point. It's at the mental state. The end will come earlier, and then he'll have to...
Yeah, but your point is still well taken. You're picking up on the fact that this is counterintuitive. Like, why would you interrupt? Remember, at the time that you took the neder, you weren't in a position to fulfill the first nazirus.
Right. Well, even so, right, so if it's not valid, you really shouldn't have.
Right. It's a very, very important, you know, issue. So the Gemara picks up on that. So the Gemara says, "Bayirava mahareni nazir la'acharas yom." So the guy says, "In 20 days, I'm going to be nazir." Now, what's going on in these 20 days? Who knows? You know, but he says, 20 days from now, I'm going to start my nazirus. Okay, you could do that. Umeachshav, and then I also want to start a period of nazirus right now, me'ayom, of 100 days. So this guy is all over the map, right? He says, "In 20 days, I'm going to be nazir, but I'm going to start a period of 100 days of nazirus today." So we definitely have to get this guy into nazirus counseling for sure. Because, you know, he doesn't know what he wants. But in 20 days, he's going to start in Nazirus, and he's going to start in Nazirus now, and then we're left to pick up the pieces. All right, that's what we're here for, okay, on a Sunday morning, you know. Other people are sleeping in, you know, but we've got to deal with the hard things in life, and this guy is making a very complicated, you know, Nazirus. How are we going to handle this? So, Mahu Kevan, Dehalin Mea Be'eshin Lo Shlemin Lo Chaylin. So maybe just ignore it altogether, right, because this guy is saying things that don't really make sense. Right, 20 days from now, I'm going to start my nazirus. And then I'm going to be a nazir, you know, for 100 days starting now. Well, that obviously interferes with the 20 days. Okay, so kevin dahalin meya ba'eshin lo shleimin lo chaylin. Maybe we'll just disregard it altogether. Odoma kevin de'isle gidol seir levasov chaylin. So maybe we'll say, look, you know, here's the situation. You start the nazirus now with respect to the 100 days. You stop after 20 days. And you do 30 days of nazirus for that nazirus, okay? So now you're 50 days in, so to speak, and you should have at least another 50 days, you know, of nazirus, right? And that's enough time, right? Because the stam nazirus period is 30 days. The Gemara is saying, gidol seyar levasov chaylin. There's at least another 30 days. Really, there's 50 days. Rashi points out, in a certain sense, there are 80 days, because what you should really have to do is count to day 130, because, you know, the rest of your nazirus, the 80 days that's the differential, can only really start at day 50. Okay, very good. We see baile nazirus mu'etes. So the Gemara says, but we have a more important question. What if the nazirus was mu'etes? What if there wouldn't be, you know, more than 30 days left over in the end? So chadim yochadu kadim baile. The Gemara says, you know, we're really, you know, asking one agav the other. So we'll just go a few lines on the top of yadalad and aleph. Im tim tolem nazirus mu'etes. Kevan de'asara yomin hu de'yasrin lo salik le'halin asara vadin azir mea yom kevan de'islay timnin yomin le'vasov salkin le'olo. Okay, so the Gemara is saying is that, look, we would start with the question of what we call the nazirus muetes, where the remainder would say, let's say it was a situation where a guy didn't say mea yom, it was just a regular case of nazirus of shloshim yom. So I'm going to be a nazir starting 20 days from now. And then he says, and I'm going to be a nazir starting now. So what would happen? You'd observe 20 days, right? And then you would interrupt that, so to speak. Observe the 30 days of non-conditional nazirus. And then what would the differential be on the back end? 10 days. You have 10 days of nazirus left to observe. But 10 days isn't enough of a time to allow your hair to regrow after completion of the intermediate nazirus, right? So, you know, that was really, you know, the more pressing question. And it's that question that we'll get back into, you know, starting tomorrow. Well, we're saying the minimum shear ain is zeros pachos mishloshim yom.
Okay, so the matter here, you would go over 3 days.
Right.
So that's different from
right. So
whatever it
is,
it has to be
3 days. Right. So that's what the Gemara is saying. So just one more time, this top line you've done enough. Im tipslam nizirus muetes kevan to asara yomin hu diasrin. The differential is only 10 days in this case, right? You don't have 80 days in the back end. The losalik lay, right? You know that these 10 days are, you know, not going to be a sufficient period. Halina asara vade nazir. So meyom kevan to islay timnin yomin lebasof. You have the differential of 80 days. So Salkinle Olo, is that going to count for him, you know, or not? So that's the question, and we'll get back into that question starting tomorrow.